Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discover what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, last week we started a series on the church, and just a week into that, but this week we're going to take a little bit of a deviation. We had Micah.
Good reason.
Brother here, Micah, came in to visit for a few days, so we thought we would take the time to interview him. He is full-time in politics, both a believer who's engaged in the political realm and faces those challenges. And, you know, Micah, I appreciate having you here with us. It's been a great time hanging out with you.
Oh, but also, glad to get to join you.
Yeah, but it's good to have you with us. You know, when it comes to politics and the Christian, there is a gamut of opinions and thoughts as to how we as Christians should and can interact.
Definitely.
With the whole political realm, and or if we should even interact at all, if it's something we should leave aside. And there's just, I mean, if you want to get people's buttons going here, especially in the American culture, the American Christian culture, all you do is got to put political word out there, talk about politics, and it can boil some juice for sure.
It's definitely something that divides people, and it doesn't really matter if you're what particular denomination you are. Everybody has their own little...
Definitely. Now, we know you're in full-time politics. That's what you do. Maybe just give us a little bit of a background in exactly what it is that you do and how you're engaged.
Yeah, I work with a consulting firm down in Texas. We have a place just north of San Antonio, Texas, and we work with political candidates who are running mostly for state level, state and local level, but mostly state level in the state of Texas, state representative, state senate. And I work with a consulting firm down there, and there are three of us who work full-time in that consulting firm. And so we cover everything from press releases and working with candidates on shaping their message and how they need to communicate, to helping them set up a ground game on getting actually grassroots and boots on the ground, people to knock on doors. So really just a wide variety of things in the political spectrum for candidates.
So in other words, you're kind of the person who helps them be who they are. You really formulate them and help give form who they are.
Hopefully we, not to be too cliche-ish, but we make them become a better you.
Exactly. And it's obviously all the time you and I are keeping up. We get to talk, you're always telling stories and just opportunities that you have. And hopefully as we talk here, those will come out. The kind of couple of things we want to cover. First of all, the obstacles to the gospel in politics, and then the opportunities for the gospel in politics. And the obstacles, I think, can sometimes be something that we focus on so much. And I know that you and I have talked about this quite a bit. We've gone back and forth discussing this, and that really is an obstacle, that politics is the answer, especially in our American Christian evangelical culture, that if we just could get the political factor right, we'd be okay. Maybe give us a little bit of explanation of why that's not the answer.
Well, I think politics with anything is the same in that, you know, it's not the answer, just like church is not the answer. Just
right.
Going to church is not the answer. There's not really an answer. The answer lies in people's hearts if you don't change hearts.
Right.
And we see that in the political arena. If you're engaged with people and you're talking with people, you can convince them on an idea, but somebody else might come along and argue the same point in a different direction and have equally as good points, if you will, in an argumentative way, and convince them to vote a different way. So if you're just arguing back and forth and convincing people and not changing their hearts long term, you're not going to have as great of an accomplishment.
So it just kind of becomes a matter of who has the best argument?
Who can, you know, and if that's the case, well then, you know,
is it evolution or creation?
And who's got the best point? Did Ken Ham win, or did, you know, did Bill Nye the Science Guy win in the famous get together in the Christian circles that we saw? So, you know, it's not who has the best argument, it's can we change people's hearts when it comes to truth? And I think that's the case with anything, not just politics.
Right, and I think one of the dangers is that we as evangelicals tend to think that if we could just get the right guy in there, whether he's the president or whether he's the senator or whatever, if we could just get that right guy in there, it's almost as if we preach a political gospel, I think, very much so.
Well, unfortunately, I think many times in Christian circles, we look for the guy who calls himself a believer, and I'm all for candidates being believers. I'm all for candidates being Christians and having a biblical view of what that means, and not just, you know, being a Christian in name only. I hope our president's a Christian when he gets elected, and I hope our senator of our state or where have you, I hope that's the case. But it's not always the case, and you can't always just follow the Christian candidate philosophy. Political philosophy goes a little bit deeper than that.
Right. And I think a lot of times we become one-dimensional voters in how we view things and how we approach things.
Right. And I always encourage any voter, you know, whenever I argue or discuss with them and I give them an idea and I tell them who to vote for and they say, great, now I know who to vote for. I said, well, actually, you should probably go search out the candidate on your own and come up with your own idea of what they believe and see where how they voted or how they've had positions in the past, because, you know, I'm going to give you my opinion and it may not always be exactly spot on to where you want it to be.
Right, and I think we're not informed by the scriptures. I mean, and I'll throw this out at you and tell me what you think, but you look at Jesus was faced with a very political question. Should we pay taxes? You know, the religious rulers come to Jesus and they talk to him about, hey, should we pay taxes? And so he asks for a coin. And he grabs the coin and he holds it up and says, whose face is on this coin? And they say, Caesar, who was a very wicked, wicked man. I mean, we're not talking, he's probably more wicked than anything we've ever seen. And so he reaches up and holds it up and says, render to things as Caesar's, the things that are Caesar's, and the things that are God, the things that are God. So in other words...
And the libertarian Jews that were standing over to the side got really disappointed.
Exactly. They were not happy about that. Yeah, that's so true.
Unfortunately, he didn't tell us whether or not we could legalize drugs.
Which is a frustrating thing to this day. So, but, you know, I think that serves a point that here's Jesus, who has come for one purpose alone, and that is to die so that we as sinners might know Christ. We may know the gospel, okay? But then he gets this political question thrown at him, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, how do we wrestle with this? I mean, we're going to support this wicked ruler and his means, you know? Really, how does this work?
I think many times, you know, people try to, you know, I get asked, people say, man, being a Christian in the political arena, that's got to be tough. And it can be. It's especially tough, I think, if you work inside the capital of a state and you're very involved, or if you work in the United States Capitol, which I can only imagine, though I've never worked there, would be 10 times as tough as working in a state capital. But, you know, you have there's an incestuous atmosphere of the constant, you know, whether it be, you know, the chief of staffs and other people that you know are living an immoral lifestyle or stuff that's going on around you, people going out and you know, getting drunk and doing other stuff at night, that you cannot allow yourself to get sucked into long term, because that's going to destroy you and will tear you down in your reputation and what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, you want to obviously invest your life in those people. Those are the people you're working with, and you want to have a good influence on people, but you cannot allow that to bring you down.
Right. Right. Dad, you may have had a question, I know.
Well, I guess what I'm thinking here is when you bring it down to the simplest common denominator, what's the basic obstacle that politics poses for the gospel? Is it the fact that we can see that as something that will accomplish kingdom work, that this is, man, if we get this right, we get the right guy, we get the right platform, is that the thing that's going to distract us most? Then it's going to suck us into thinking, man, if we involve ourselves in this, we're going to bring the kingdom on earth, you know?
Well, I think that's twofold. If you look at politics is not the answer, you know, like we said before, just like a parachurch ministry is not the answer.
Right.
You know, people invest themselves into an organization or, you know, or whatever, a ministry of some
even
type.
Even like ours.
Yeah. Right. Even like a Vision for Living, yeah, and say, you know what, this is going to change the world. Well, the fact of the matter is, this is not going to change the world. What will change the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we know that.
Yeah.
And so that has to be what you come back to. No matter where you go, what you do, it has to be the centrality of that. And if that's not where you're at, then you're going to get involved in everything, and politics is going to let you down. And ministries are going to let you down. People are going to let you down. Church is going to let you down.
And a lot of disappointments.
Well, and kind of shifting gears here in this whole issue of the obstacles as we move along here, we talked a little bit about how that the political realm is obviously not going to help spur on the gospel necessarily.
Right.
But how about what are the obstacles that politics brings to when you're trying to bring the gospel to that sphere of influence, that almost that mission field, if you will?
Well, and I don't know if this answers the question directly, but if you're looking at, you work with a lot of people who have the same values that you have, if you will. They're pro-life.
Right.
And, but they may have no religious background or have right. no interest in spiritual things whatsoever, but they believe it's wrong to kill a baby or right. a fetus. They think that's wrong. And so you have common ground. You fight on that. But then, you know, they turn around and they're living a life that you're like, whoa, I mean, how could they be a believer in Christ and be living a life like that? So you see the difference right. there. And so the obstacle comes, and yet, you know, we're so involved in these issues that we're trying to accomplish. How do we communicate Christ to an
obvious... There's a difference between you and I.
A dying world, right. and yet that dying world many times is fighting with you for the same things that you're trying to accomplish.
So it gets kind of lost in the shuffle, if you will.
That, and the power struggle as well. I've seen guys who I admire and may have great respect for who have fallen away from what I would call strong biblical view of what their life is like in the gospel is related into politics and what they're doing, because they get so caught up in the moment. They get so caught up. Even good guys will right. get push aside some things in favor of what you would call compromise.
So the power, maybe.
Well, absolute power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, right. we all know that. It's a very famous saying, but right. and it's true, and I won't say that, you know, everybody who gets into politics is just going to stray, but I will say there's that it danger. Is tough. It's right. tough. And so that's an obstacle, because when you get in there, even for myself, you become, you know, let's say you become a chief of staff and you think, well, hey, man, I got this.
And right. that's cool. Some power now.
But again, that is the case anywhere. You're a CEO of a company. I've made it. I've reached the pinnacle.
Right. It's not like it changes from one place. I will say, though, that one of the things I know you and I have talked about, you have to fight is cynicism. The sense of that it's just bad, it's evil.
Yeah,
it's,
you see these people cares? Post a picture with, you know, oh, I just met this guy, this famous politician or whatever, and you're like, whatever, the guy's a yo-yo. Because you know how he believes in this and what he does in right. his private life in this area, and so you get to where you don't trust anybody,
right.
and you're cynical of all things that are going on.
Well, we've kind of been a little bit negative here. We've talked about the obstacles, obviously, to the gospel in politics. But let's shift here to the second point, and that is the opportunities for the gospel in the politics. Let's get a little positive. What sure. are the opportunities, and maybe in particular the opportunities that you've had?
There is always two things. First of all, it's easy to get caught up in what you're doing and forget that you're supposed to be, you know, living a life that's
right.
glorifying to Christ. And you know, like, oh man, how many opportunities have I missed? Right. Or have I just been living my life in such a compromised way, and not in terrible way, but just, you know, in a lax way, that I've missed so many opportunities because I've gotten caught up in what I'm doing. So in that case, you have to be careful, because in that way you could have lived a life. So right. you have to stay close to the Lord, stay in the Word, and stay vigilant. The other side of things is that, you know, if you're just like any other opportunity in life, if you're a missionary on the mission field, politics is a mission field.
Right.
It's the mission field you've been given. If you're right. a plumber and you're going to people's house every day and you're unclogging toilets and fixing pipes and putting right. stuff back together, you have a mission field. It doesn't really matter where you are or what you're doing.
Right.
Your life is a mission. When you became a believer in Christ, you signed up, as it were, to be a missionary for Him, to carry the good news that we have to those people that you would meet, no matter where you are or what you're doing. So in that way, politics is a mission field.
So these comrades in arms are really an opportunity for you to share the gospel and to see people see the difference between two kingdoms, the kingdoms of this world
Correct.
And the kingdoms of our God, and of His Christ.
You know, whether it be a politician that you've been working with who may not know the Lord, or whether it be, you know, an opportunity where you're in the middle of a situation and you have an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord. You know, it may be something as simple as saying, well, praise the Lord. And they're like, well, what the heck? Where'd that come from?
right.
Okay, well, he must be charismatic. He must be, he's just crazy. You know, and people will think that, you know, and they may not realize that, well, perhaps there's something a little deeper here with this person. And so you have to continue living that out.
And that may come back up later in a cup of coffee.
It may. Or, you know, I've had opportunities to speak with people.
Right.
Very, very, not very often, I would say.
Right.
Has it been at length, but very often it's been briefly to speak a word here or there.
Well, I know, and I'll just say your testimony. I know you've shared with me stories about how you've interacted with women in politics and how they're shocked when you treat them like a lady, when you help them, when you are different than how the other men treat them in that realm. I'm telling, to me, that's a testimony. That to me, they're going to be, what's different about you, you know?
And you have to be careful, too, because in politics, it's so easy to get sucked into you know, people liking you and wanting to like you, and you can make people like you just by being a nice person, and then get sucked into, you know, relationships that drag you down. And I don't mean anybody in particular that I've ever met. I just mean there are circles that you have to be careful of getting into, because you will you will find yourself in a compromising situation.
So you have to prayerfully keep Christ at the front of your thoughts, at the front of your conversation, and we all do that.
Right.
So it's not different, but it is a different kind of a challenge.
Right. Different kind of a challenge.
Well, just kind of the last thing that we look at here, you know, obviously you're involved in it full time. I mean, that's what you do. That's your job. That's what you get paid to do. So in some ways, I mean, that's your livelihood. But for the average layman here, to the person who's listening to this, there are going to be two camps out there. One says, I don't want anything to do with it. It's wicked. Forget it. Or this is my opinion, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is how we're going to change the world through politics. But how can you boil it down to getting involved and making a difference for the sake of the kingdom of God?
Well, we're told that governmental officers in the Bible, we're told that they're the ministers of God for good works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that being said, at the very least, says that they have an effect on our lives. And if they have an effect on our lives, that means that we have an opportunity to have an effect on them. Obviously, mm-hmm. in this country, since we have elections, people say, well, my vote doesn't matter. Well, that's another podcast, and we don't have time for that.
Right.
But at the very least, you have an opportunity to influence the people around you that are actually making the vote. And so whether it's on Facebook, and you can go to, Henderson County, Kentucky, whatever, and find a group that's involved. Go to those meetings. And if elected officials come to those, meet your elected officials. It's actually not that hard to meet your local elected officials if you really want to do it. Find out who they are. Find out who's running in the local election. Find out when your elections are. And go meet them. Meet one-on-one with them. And if they will, take 10, 20 minutes and talk to them about their philosophy.
Right.
And if you can find that out and you really get to where you believe, where they go to church or whatever, meet them, then you might actually go out and knock on a door or two for one of those people. So you can have an effect locally in somebody that you've met and that you've come to know and believe has, the, not you believe in them, but you believe in what they stand for.
And you've built a relationship
in
which you may have the opportunity to share Christ.
And at the very least, you've had an effect locally on a small level.
Well, let's ask you this. Our time is running close here, but I want to ask you this one last question. I heard John Piper say this one time back when the elections were going, back in 2012. Of course, there was a heated debate between whether Romney and Obama was really even, either one of them was even better, and that's for another day. But he was talking about, he said, go vote. Because there's all these people that say, no, I'm not voting because of my conscience. And obviously, you have to make a decision based upon faith, as Scripture says. But he made the point, he said, if you don't do something that is good and it's within your power to do it, then that is sin.
Right.
What do you think about that? What's your thoughts on that?
I think if you have the opportunity to cast a vote to support something, it's kind of like, what if Christianity, people say, well, my vote doesn't matter. I say, well, what if Christianity was at it? What if everything was over and we were in the catacombs? We were down in the holes around this country.
Right.
Would you still stand up for Christianity? Yes, absolutely. Well, I think we have the opportunity to stand up for what is right and good in politics and still do that, even if it doesn't count, if you will. And people say, well, I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils. Well, why don't you find the candidate who has the best opportunity to win and has the opportunity to do the most for good?
Right.
And vote for that person.
If he progresses good, even that much more.
And I don't think we have to be discouraged that you look back and say, well, he did all this stuff I didn't like. Yeah, but you voted, and you can say, I went out and voted against something and voted for something that I believed in, I believe could do the most good in that situation.
Amen. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you giving that time. We've run a little long on time here, so we'll bring things to a close. Maybe we'll have you back here again sometime when you're back in town.
Oh, I'd love to.
I appreciate having you. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/B4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.